الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله عزيز حكيم وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر وهو الحكيم الخبير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم In Arabic language, hikmat means wisdom. And a person who has wisdom is known as Hakim. The being that has the greatest wisdom, the biggest Hakim, is Al-Hakim, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why all the treasures of hikmat, of wisdom, they are present with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every command and kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of wisdom. And every action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also full of wisdom and hikmat. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Quran. That's why Quran is also called Hikmatun Baligha. Complete, perfect hikmah, wisdom. That's why Allah Ta'ala says that Zalika mimma uha ilayka rabbuka min al hikmah. That, oh, my messenger, these are statements of hikmah, words of hikmah that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is revealing upon you. So the kalam of Allah Ta'ala, Quran, is full of hikmat, it's full of wisdom. And similarly, every action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every amal of Allah Ta'ala is also full of hikmat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running this universe with his hikmat, with his wisdom. Whatever is happening, or whatever is not happening, it is happening because of the mansha, the will, and the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why one aspect of ubudiyah, one aspect of this abd-rab relationship is that insan, a human being, they should be pleased with Allah ta'ala in every situation. Whether there is happiness, we should be pleased with Allah. Whether there is sorrow, we should be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is health, we should be happy. If there is sickness, then also we should be pleased with Allah. In every hal, in every situation, we should be pleased with Allah ta'ala. Why? Because we should think in our heart that I am pleased with Allah ta'ala in every hal. Because in every situation, every amal, everything that is happening to us, there is hikmat of Allah ta'ala. There is wisdom, there is some faida, some benefit we may not be able to understand. Many times it happens that we are not able to know the reality of that situation. And that's why in our heart there is a complaint, a shikwa, a shikayat, that I wish this would have happened or that would not have happened. But we should try to remember the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, Al-Hakim. Failul Al-Hakim la yakhlu anil hikmah. The action of Al-Hakim is never empty or devoid of hikmah. And we should try to mentally condition ourselves that whatever is happening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it. And in every action of Allah ta'ala, there is faida, there is benefit, there is hikmat, there is wisdom. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept me in a particular hal, in a particular situation, then this is better for me. We are not able to understand the hakikat or the reality. Sometimes for that reason, we have complaints in our tabia. We start objecting. But if we understand the hakikat, if we were to know that wisdom, if we were to know that reason and benefit, then our complaints will finish. So the thing, one principle that we have to remember about this sifat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who is al-hakim. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, there is hikmah, there is wisdom, there is khair, there is faida. And that's why we should learn to be pleased with Allah ta'ala. And we should be pleased with Allah ta'ala in every situation. This is called bandagi, this is called ubudiyah. This is called being a servant and a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of times what happens, a common problem is that we want to enjoy this world. And we want to take the pleasures of Jannah in this dunya. In fact, this is a deception of the dunya, because this dunya is not a place of enjoyment. This dunya was supposed to be a place of examination. We are being examined every day with good halat or bad halat. It's an examination. And once the result is out, then Allah Ta'ala will give the inam or the reward. Right now, we're in the room of examination. These moments that we have, these days and nights and weeks that we have, we should try to spend that time in a way that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. If Allah gives us happiness, we should respond with shukr. Be grateful to Allah. If Allah gives us some sorrow, some sadness, some grief, then we should have sabr. Through shukr, we can also enter into Jannah. And through patience and sabr, we can also get into Jannah. I'll give a very simple example that a mother, she is so merciful towards her kid. She doesn't want to harm her son in any way, in the slightest of way. But there are certain tasks that she has to do. Being a mother, she has to do it. Now, the child wants that, I want to touch the fire. But the mother will not allow him to go near that fire. The child is crying and he wants to go, but the mother will allow him to cry. Despite all her mercy, compassion, affection, her love, the mother knows that he cannot touch this fire. And the child is not able to understand. That's why I have to stop him. Our situation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also exactly the same. That we are after the desires of our nafs, the desires in this dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which desire should be fulfilled, which is beneficial for us, which would be beneficial for us, and which, if it was fulfilled, would not be beneficial for us. So we need to change the way we think about our life. We need to change the way of our thinking. That small things happen and we become sad. And sometimes in sadness, we do things to us. Or sometimes we get some blessing, or those blessings are taken away. Then we become sad. Sometimes we get some blessings and we become ghafil. So this is not a good response. We have to remember that the maqsad, the objective, the goal of this life, we have to keep that in front of us. And we should try to live a life that is pleasing to Allah. In times of difficulties, we turn to Allah with sabr. In times of happiness, we turn to Allah with shukr. All the time we realize that every situation there is hikmat, there is wisdom, because all these halat, events and situations and circumstances, they're coming from that being who is Al-Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, He says, wa asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrul lakum. That it's possible, perhaps you may dislike something which has khair for you, which has benefit for you, faida for you. Wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrul lakum. And perhaps you may love something which is actually shar for you, evil for you. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, has ilm, wa antum la ta'lamun, but you do not have that knowledge. We do not know that what we want to do, is there khair in that or not? We are making dua in the morning, dua in the evening, we are praying nafil, praying tahajjud, doing so much remembrance. But we don't know at the end of the day if that thing that we are asking, is it best for us or is it not? And when that dua is not fulfilled, a lot of times we leave praying or we leave asking, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we say that Allah does not listen to us. There's one thing, Allah Ta'ala listens to every person, as-sami'. But Allah is not necessitated or required or obligatory upon Allah that whatever words come out of our tongue, Allah will fulfill every single word. Allah Ta'ala looks at our situation. Allah looks at what is best for us, what is best for His servants. And then whatever Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wills, Allah Ta'ala gives it to us. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to put us in some test or trial, then Allah does not give it to us. But Allah knows what is best for us. Allah has hikmat, has wisdom. Every action, every situation that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is wisdom, there is some benefit, there is khair for us. So I want to share with you a few stories so that we can understand this point. This is very necessary and very important that we try to understand this principle. Once there was a person who had to travel to another city for a meeting, very important meeting, and he had to negotiate some contracts, and it was a must for him to go there and meet the director. And he got his ticket, he got it, he bought the ticket, and but it was a last minute, so it was a chance seat. And he said that, okay, I will take the chance ticket. And he was hopeful that he'd be able to make it to that city. He went to the airport, went to the counter, and the person said that today the flight is full and it's very difficult for you to get a seat. The chances are very slim. He said, no, I have to go. I must go. It's a very important meeting. If I don't go, I'll have a loss of this much dollars. So that attendant said that, okay, let's just wait, we'll see. And what happened, Allah Kishan, that he was not able to go on that plane. It was a complete full flight. And he became very sad, in fact, very angry. He said to the manager, to the attendant, that you have done a very bad thing to me. And I will be facing this much loss, and the efforts that I did for the whole year, everything will be wasted. this was a very essentially important meeting for me. I had to reach there. And he started crying that I am now in such a deep trouble, such a deep loss. But he was thinking and was very sad. And in that state, he came back home. And as soon as he reached home, he heard the news that the flight on which he was supposed to go, that flight a few minutes ago, it had a crash. And every person, every passenger, including all the attendants, all of them, they died on the spot. And now when he heard that report, he started thanking Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, I'm so grateful to you that you saved me from this. Now, if you reflect on the story, when you don't know the haqiqat, the reality of this, reality of that event, then that person is fighting, he's disputing, he's shouting, he's yelling. He's saying that I have to go, I must go, and necessarily I have to be there. And when he's not able to go, then he thinks that everything is destroyed for him. No business, nothing. And now when he understands the haqiqat, when the reality opens up before him, now that same person is saying that, Allah, I'm so thankful to you, I'm so grateful to you. So as human beings, we should remember that whatever halat or situations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends our way, whether happiness or sorrow, whether health or sickness, we should be pleased with Allah Ta'ala in every hal. We have to make this our temperament. Why? Because everything is coming from Allah, and there is hikmat. This is coming from that being who is Al-Hakim. There is wisdom, there is faida, benefit. There was a story we read in one of the books that there was a woman who got married and she started living in a village with her husband. And her husband was relatively wealthy in that village and he had his own house. So both of them were living there and they had some animals in their house. In villages, normally people have animals with them. Sometimes a cow or a buffalo or goats or a donkey or hen or even a dog. They have something with them. This is like the furniture of people living in the village. So here, both husband and wife, they started living. And then after some day, they had a hen which died. And she became very upset. She said to her husband that our hen just passed away. So the husband, he had this habit that he would have anything bad would happen, he would always say that there must be some khair in this. There must be some wisdom, some hikmat in this. Some khair, some benefit in this also for us. So he responded with that usual statement that there must be some khair in this. Now the wife, she became a bit, she was silent, but she was surprised that we lost our hen and my husband is saying there's some khair in this. A few days passed by and then the dog that they had, their guard dog, he also passed away. So the wife said to the husband that we lost our dog. And again, the husband responded that there must be some khair in this, some benefit in this. And she was amazed that the dog who used to guard our house is now no longer here. How can there be any khair in this? A few days passed by and they lost their donkey also. And when she told the husband again said there must be some khair in this. So again, she became very surprised. Ajib, right? We lost a hen, there must be some khair. We lost a dog, there's some khair. Now we have lost a donkey, there must be some khair. So they lost all those animals that they had. Then it so happened that after a few days, there was a gang of some thieves were quite notorious. They came and they attacked that village. And they made the program that we will take all the wealth, gold, silver, and then we'll distribute that within among us. And they also had made plans of entering the house and just looting basically whatever valuables there were. So they attacked that village, and all the people were sleeping at that time. They attacked at night, and they took everyone out of their homes, and they searched all the people, took all their possessions, all their gold, valuables, silver. And it was a lot of money, a lot of wealth that they had. And they started moving away. But it so happened that they did not enter into the house of these two, husband and wife. They did not even enter their house. And the husband and wife, they were sleeping throughout the night, mazeme, enjoying their sleep. And in the morning, when they woke up and they came out, and all the people, the villagers, they told what happened to us. And they realized that in the whole village, only their house was saved. And every other person, they had a loss of some sort. So later, after some time, it so happened that they were able to catch the thief, and the whole gang was caught. So then they asked the gang leader that you came and attacked this fala village, and you left this one particular house. Why? What's the reason? And he said that, you know, what actually happened was that we had decided among ourselves that we will go into every single house. And when we would go near the house, then there would be some animal who would start speaking, or we would notice the movement of some animal through which we would understand that there's some person living inside this house. And then we would go inside and take all the wealth out. But there was one house in that village where there was no sound of any animal or no movement of any animal. And we thought that maybe people have ran away from here. No, it's empty, it's desolate, and no one's living here. So we thought, why waste our time? Why enter this place? We let that house as it is. So subhanAllah, that woman, she was thinking that our animals are dying and this is a loss for us. But in reality, when the reality opened up, now that we're doing shukr of Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you saved our wealth, you saved our izzah, you saved our valuables. So we have to remember that in every task of Allah Ta'ala, there is khair. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is that being who's Al-Hakim. Sometimes people complain that I don't have a son. What if Allah Ta'ala gives us a son, but he grows up to be a disobedient son? That can be more painful for us. Sometimes people have fights within relationships, wife and husband, husband, wife. So we have to remember this principle that actually sometimes it also happens in terms of work. A person loses their job, a person gets a job, person has to shift, person doesn't have to shift. These decisions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making the halat. And if a person loses their job, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should think that Allah ta'ala, there is some khair in this. There is some khair, there is some hikmah, there is some wisdom in this. This happened out of the hukum of Allah Ta'ala, and this happened with the hikmah of Allah Ta'ala. And there is always khair in the hukum of Allah, there is always khair and hikmah in the fail of Allah. There is some behtari, there is some khair for me in this decision. And then a moment will be very happy in this life. He will not be agitated at small things. When a person conditions themselves in such a way that there is khair in whatever is happening to me because it is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll tell you another story. There was a king who loved hunting, and he had a friend also of the same temperament. Both of them would go together for hunting. He was very close to the king. And sometimes they would go together, and the friend of this king, he also had the same habit that anything used to happen used to say that there'll be some khair in this, there is some goodness in this, some benefit, some hikmah in this. So nothing, whatever would happen, he would say there is some khair in this. So one day the king, he was hunting, and he was holding the pistol, the gun in his hand. And while sort of pulling the trigger, there was a friction and he ended up cutting his thumb. And he was in none of the naturally, there was a lot of pain, and he was also quite angry with himself. So in any way, the friend, he quickly put some bandage or wrapped it with a cloth. And then he said to the king that, "Oh king, there must be some khair in this." And the king was already angry, and when he heard the statement, became even more angry that you are saying that there is some khair in this. So he asked that, "What's the khair?" Khair, was very angry with this statement. The king decided that I'm going to put this person behind bars. He's making fun of me. So that person was put behind bars. And 1 year passed by. And finally, there was some healing on his finger. So the king decided that, okay, let me go out and hunt. And this time he went out for hunting, but he didn't have his friend because the friend was behind bars in jail. So he thought, okay, let me go alone. He went with his guards and he went inside, deep inside the jungle. And there, when he saw one animal, a deer, so he went after, he started chasing that deer. And he went after that deer, after that animal. And in the thick of it, he got disconnected with the guards and was all alone inside that jungle. And there, in the middle of the jungle, there were some people who were natives. They saw the king and they thought that this is some stranger who has entered into our territory. He's wearing some very shiny clothing, and it looks he has some jewels and rubies on his attire. So they went and they grabbed him. And now he said that I'm the king. And they replied that you might be the king of the city, but here there is no kingdom. This is a jungle. Now the king became very, very, very perishan, very distressed. So the people there, they called their leader of the jungle, the leader of that tribe. And they told him that we have captured this one person. He's wearing a very expensive, very precious robe. So the leader, he said that, okay, bring him to me. And he said that every year we have to make a human sacrifice on our idol. And we have to sacrifice one person from our village. So this time we have this person whom we have captured, we will sacrifice him. And now the king, he was listening to all of this. He became even more distressed that these people are thinking of sacrificing him. Human sacrifice, they will kill him. So here they decided the next day they're going to present him, analyze him, and then they're going to offer a sacrifice. The next day, when all the people they gathered, and the king, he completely knew that today I'm going to lose my life. So people came, they looked at the king, and when they looked at him carefully, they saw that on his hand there was a cut, and he did not have full finger on his thumb. He lost his thumb. So they said that since this person does not have a proper thumb, he's not completely fit. And we have to offer sacrifice if a person is completely fit. So this person will not be of any help for us. So they let him go. They let him go, and the king then returned back. As soon as he came back to his palace, he went straight to the prison. And he took out his friend and he said that I agree with what you used to say, that in every action of Allah Ta'ala, there is hikmat. In every action of Allah Ta'ala, there is khair, there is some benefit for us. My thumb was cut, and there was khair in this because precisely my thumb was cut, they let me go. If my thumb was intact, then they would have sacrificed me. So he opened the chain, he called him, he did ikram, honored his friend, and he said that please forgive me. When the friend he heard this, he said that, "O King, what you're saying is right. That in every action of Allah Ta'ala there is khair. The fact that your thumb was cut, there is khair in that. And you know, they let you go because of that." And then he said, "There's also khair in the fact that you put me inside jail for 1 year and you went there alone." So the king asked her, "What do you mean? You were stuck here in the prison." He said that, "Oh king, that if you had allowed me to go with you, if you hadn't put me here in the prison, and if I was with you, and if I was with you at that time, then these people would have looked at me. And I was completely healthy. And they would not have left me, they would have sacrificed me instead." So we do not know the halat and the reality behind those circumstances. We do not know the hikmat, the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala behind all these things that are happening to us. We don't know what will happen to us in the future. But Allah Subhanahu Ta'ala is our Rabb. Allah Ta'ala knows. So one usul, one principle that we have to remember is that whatever happens to us is coming from Allah, and there is hikmat, there is khair for in that. There is khair in that, and hence we should be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be pleased with our taqdeer. We should be pleased with the things that are happening to us because there is khair in them. So in matters of taqdeer, in matters of destiny and fate, we need to be razi, we need to be pleased with Allah ta'ala. We need to be pleased with Allah at all times. We should not be complaining at small things that Allah does not listen to my dua, or Allah does not fulfill my dua, or Allah did not fulfill my that task. This is something which is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ibn Abba, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Lohi Mehfuz, the preserved tablet. And the first thing that was written on that Lohi Mehfuz was La ilaha illa ana. That there is no being worthy of worship except for me, Muhammadun Rasuli, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my messenger. And then after that it was written, Famanistaslama liqaza'i, that whoever accepts my qaza, accepts my destiny, accepts my decree, was sabara ala bala'i, and they have patience over their difficulties, was shakara na'ma'i, and they are grateful to me for their blessings, katabtuhu siddiqa, that person, his name will be written down as among the Siddiq, as a truthful person. Wab'athtuhu ma'as-Siddiqeen, and he will be raised up on the day of judgment, and his hisab and kitab will happen with the Siddiqeen, with the truthful ones. So subhanallah. When a person accepts the qaza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have sabr, they have shukr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates their rank, their names are written in the list of Siddiq. And the hisab and kitab happens among those with those people on the day of Qiyamah. And there was also written that Waman lam yastaslim li qaza'i, that whoever does not accept my decree, and walam yasbir ala bala'i, and does not have sabr over the afflictions, walam yashkur na'ma'i, and does not do shukr about my ni'mah, about my blessings, فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَائِي, then he should take someone else as their Rabb. Now if you look at this, this is such an ajeeb statement. The Rabbi Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that whoever is not pleased with my decree, they should try to take someone else as their Rabb. So we should try that we are pleased with Allah Ta'ala, with our Malik, with our Rabb in every situation. There was Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and he had a dialogue with his people, Bani Israel. And people, Bani Israel, they asked Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam a question, that how do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us or he is displeased with us?
So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam replied that, I will go to Mount Tur and then I will ask Allah Ta'ala this question. So when he came, he had ham kalami, he spoke to Allah Ta'ala, and Musa alayhi salam then asked that, oh Allah, how do we know that you are pleased with us or that you're angry, upset with us? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that, tell my servants that this is very easy. Just look into your heart, and if you are pleased with me, then I, your Rabb, am pleased with you. And if you have complaints and shikayat and shikwa in your hearts towards me, then I'm also upset with you. So if we are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will be pleased with us. And this is the lesson that we have to remember. So whatever happens, happens from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is hikmah. And because there is hikmah and wisdom and khair, we should be razi with the decree. We should be razi with the qaza. We should be razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three things which today in this gathering, we have to place it inside our heart. We have to remember these things and we have to place them inside our heart. First is that we should try to be razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Rabb. That Allah, I'm razi with you as our Rabb. I'm razi with you. I'm happy with you. In my heart, I'm happy with you. I feel that happiness in my heart. That Allah, you are my Rabb. Whatever happens, no matter how difficult the trials are, tests are, we think that all of these are coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is some behtri, some khair in this for us. There is some hikmat in this. This is called a raza bil qaza, that a person is razi with the decree of Allah. And the second thing is that Allah, we are also razi with the Prophet as our Nabi, that he is our Nabi. That the talimah, the teachings of the Prophet, that are so deep, so profound, there's so much nur in them, that if we do shukr with our heart, we cannot do the haq of that shukr. That Allah, you have given us such a kareem and a raheem Nabi. You have made him as our leader. You have included us amongst the ummah of the Prophet. Other Anbiya alayhi salam used to make this dua and we got this for free. So this is the second thing, that we are razi to have Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as our Nabi. And the third thing is that, Ya Allah, we are razi to have Deen-e Islam as our Deen. That Islam is our Deen. And this is such a beautiful Deen that gives us honor, that gives us izzat, that tells us how to lead our lives properly and beautifully. If you were to think about a Deen just based on the basis of our akal or intellect, we would not be able to think about such beauty, about such ta'limat. There is so much husn through revelation, through wahi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hidayat, ta'limat in every single aspect of our life, in our ibadat, in our mu'asharat, how we deal with other people, the akhlaq that we are supposed to have, our contracts, our business, every aspect of our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us beautiful teachings through this deen of Islam. So Ya Allah, we are razi. We are pleased with deen Islam as our deen. So we should be happy about these three things. That we are happy with Allah ta'ala, that he is our Rabb. We are happy with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam because he is our Nabi. And we are happy with deen Islam because Islam is our deen. And that individual who is happy with these three things, now the Prophet ﷺ has said in a hadith, sound hadith, Sahih Muslim, Zaka ta'mal iman, that person will be able to experience the sweetness of iman. He will be able to taste the sweetness of iman. Man radiya billahi rabba, who is razi with Allah as his Rabb, wa bil islami deena, and he is razi with Islam as his deen, wa bi Muhammadin rasula, and he is razi with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ as his messenger, as his Nabi. So whoever does these three things, that person will be given the sweetness of iman, the halawat of iman. And that's why we should be razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever halat Allah ta'ala keeps us in, that hal is better for us. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that I'm amazed at the hal of a mu'min, that if when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps him in a good halat, then he does shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when some affliction, some distress, some musiba reaches him, then wasabara, he does sabr, he has patience on that musiba. And in both hal, that person is beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet ﷺ continued, Al-mu'minu yujaru fi kulli shay, that the mu'min will get ajr on everything that he does. When times of happiness, he will be getting ajr because of his shukr. In times of musibah and affliction, he will also be getting ajr and reward because of his sabr. Hatta fi lukmati yarfa'uha ila fi mra'atihi. He will be rewarded even for the morsel of food he puts in the mouth of his wife. So subhanAllah, such a beautiful hadith. That mu'min, whatever hal they are in, there is always maza, there is always lazza, there is always khair. So we should try to learn to be razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith it comes that to be patient on the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is called raza. This is called being razi. And Imam Rabbani, Sheikh Ahmed Sirindi Rahmatullah Alayh, he has written a very deep statement that for a believer, they should have the greatest love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala should be their mahbub, should be their beloved. And Allah ta'ala should be more beloved to them than their own wealth, their own life. And since everything is coming from Allah ta'ala, wealth or no wealth, life, health or sickness, all these are coming from Allah ta'ala. Hence, we should think that these are actions of Allah ta'ala and they're also beloved to me. Because they're coming, they're proceeding from that being who's my beloved. So we look at not the action, not those things that are happening to you. Look at the being. Look at that being from whom these things are proceeding. So subhanAllah, one Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, that ummah which is the recipient of your mercy, which will be that ummah? That ummah upon which you will shower your immense, incredible mercy, which will be that ummah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that, O my Mahbub, this will be the ummah of my beloved Nabi alayhi salam, my beloved Rasulullah alayhi salam. I will give them few, I will give them less, and they will be pleased with the less. So hence, when they will give me few amal, I will also be pleased with their few amal. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, that, O Dawood, that do you know who are those people who will race on the bridge of Sirat, pull Sirat? So he said that, Allah, I don't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those people who in this world were razi, were pleased with my decisions, on the day of Qiyamah, they will walk, they will race on that pull, on that bridge. So if we want that on that day, we can very quickly travel that bridge and reach the other side into Jannah, then we should try today to be razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every decision of Allah ta'ala is full of hikmah. If I'm sick, there must be some hikmah in this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm healthy, this is coming from Allah Ta'ala. There must be some hidden secret in this. If I get a lot of risk, there must be some secret here. If I'm poor, there must be some secret here, also some hikmat here. This raza bil qaza, to be razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala loves this. This is one of the beloved actions of Allah Ta'ala. Someone asked a person that when does a person become a servant? He replied that when a person becomes a razi, when they become pleased with the distribution of Allah Ta'ala, that is when they become the abd of Allah, the servant of Allah. So this is a sign of sa'ada, this is a sign of honor, that we become pleased with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a one pious person who said that if Allah Ta'ala sends me a message that this is the moment of qubuliyat dua, make dua and I will accept your dua, so what will you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said that at that time I'll make dua that, oh Allah, I want your rada, I want to be pleased, I want you to be pleased with me. Because Jannatul Firdaus I want, because that's the place of your rada. Through Jannatul Firdaus I can get your rada. And then he said that, oh Allah, if you are razi with me that I go into Jahannam, then I can go there 1,000 times. Because I want your rada, I want your pleasure. If I want Jannah from you, if I ask Jannah from you, I'm asking it because that's the place of your rada. That's the place of your pleasure. This is called a raza bil qaza, to be razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever Allah ta'ala gives us, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once a person was, on a pious person, he said that, oh my friend, that if Allah ta'ala gives you a burnt vegetable, then at that time you should think, you should feel happy. You should feel happy that Allah ta'ala, when he was distributing rizq, he remembered you. This is not a small sa'ada. This is not a small honor. The fact that when Allah ta'ala was distributing rizq, he mentioned your name in the assembly of angels that give this burnt vegetable to this person. He took your name. The fact that Allah ta'ala took your name in that assembly of angels and said that give this, that is itself, this is ma'rifah. This is knowing Allah ta'ala. That heart which has the muhabbat for Allah ta'ala, then their tongues, they don't complain. They don't complain that I'm not getting this much risk, I'm not getting that, my halat are difficult, I have issues with my health. They don't say this. Why? Because they're razi. They're razi because Allah is razi. They're razi because they know this is coming from Allah. A very famous story about Layla and Majnun, that Layla, sometimes in front of her house, there would be some Majnun who would pretend to be Majnun. There's one real Majnun and there are many fake Majnuns. So sometimes Layla also, just to keep their heart, she would give them food. All the fake Majnuns also give them food to eat. And sometimes Layla would also take an exam from them because she wanted to know who is the real Majnun, the true Majnun. So on one occasion, she made some food and she announced among the people sitting outside that come to my door and take your food from me. Now all the Majnuns, all the whole line of people, they started coming one by one, and they started taking their food from her. And she would give food and they would leave. So this continued until the real Majnun came. And when he came in front of the door, Layla looked at her and gazed at her. And looked at her very deeply and then said, go away, I will not give you any food. Go away, I will not give you any food. And that true Majnun, he left and he was very happy. And in his happiness, he's jumping. People can see his happiness and people saying that you're crazy. That all of us, we got the food and you didn't get any food and you're so happy, you're jumping up and down. So the Majnun, he replied that, yes, what you're saying is right. All of you got the food. I did not get anything. But didn't you notice that Layla, she looked at me very deeply and she gave me that gaze. And that gaze was a greater reward than the food that you're getting. So in the same way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was distributing the rizq and he mentioned our name in front of that angels, kill, give this to that person. For us, this honor is sufficient for us that Allah Ta'ala remembered us. So we should be razi, pleased with the decisions of Allah Ta'ala. We should try to mold our marzi according to the marzi of Allah. Mold our desires according to the desire of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So whether it is our taqdeer, whether it is our risk, whatever it is, we should try to be razi with the decree of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. In some books it's mentioned that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sent a revelation to Dawud alayhi salam that, O Dawud, there is one your marzi, your wish, and then there is my wish. But whatever will happen will be according to my wish. If you want that your wish will be fulfilled, if you want that my wish will be fulfilled, then I will give you what is your wish. And if you want that my Allah's wish will be fulfilled, then I will give you what is your wish. And if you want that your wish should be fulfilled, that, O my servant, I will tire you, you will become tired. But at the end of the day, jo marzi puri hogi wo meri hogi. Yani my wish will be fulfilled even at the end of the day. So we should be razi with the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the decree of Allah ta'ala. We should think that there is khair in this, there is hikmat in this, because this is coming from that being who is Al-Hakim. In the books it's mentioned that Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam, he, one of his nasiha that he gave to his son, that, oh my son, I want to counsel you on, about two things. And these two things will make you come close to Allah. You will be able to draw closeness. You will be able to attain the qurb of Allah. And they will keep you away from the anger and the wrath of Allah, the ghussa of Allah. One of the first is that you do ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and associate no partners with Allah. Don't do shirk. And second, that be razi, be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you like it or not. Yani if whatever happens according to your wish, or if it happens khilaf your wish, against your wish, learn to be razi with the decision of Allah. And this thing will keep you away from the anger of Allah. And this thing will help you attain the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala no, he once wrote a letter to Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, another sahabi. And in that letter he said that all of khair lies in the rada of Allah, in the pleasure of Allah. And hence you should try to be razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot become razi with the decree of Allah ta'ala, then at a second level do sabr on that decree. Yani this is to be razi with the decree of Allah is a higher maqam, a higher rank than sabr even. Sabr is that you are forcing, you're enduring, you're restraining. Raza is that you're pleased with it. You're happy. In your heart there is surur and itmanan, that this is happening from that being who's my beloved. Allah is my beloved, and whatever I'm receiving from my beloved, there is love in it, there is khair in it, there is barakah in it, there is hikmat in it. And we should remember this hadith, that whoever is razi with Allah Ta'ala, then that person will be able to feel, experience the sweetness of iman. Similarly, in the books it's mentioned that, in fact, this is we mentioned a few, I think, in another place. There's an ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, that ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan maradiyah fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannah wadkhuli jannati. That if you're radi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you become mardiya, Allah becomes radi with you. And when Allah becomes radi with you, then Allah says that Allah gives you the glad tidings of Jannah. Fadkhuli fi ibadi, enter into my servants, into the rank of my servants, wadkhuli jannati, and then enter into my Jannah. So by being razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person can get entry into Jannah. Hazrat Musa Ashri radiallahu ta'ala has narrated this hadith that the Prophet he said that whenever a person loses a child, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to the malaika, the angels, that you have taken away the ruh of the child of one of my servants. And the angels reply that yes, we have. So Allah Ta'ala asked them that, how did you find them? How did my servant respond? So the angels, they reply that person, he was doing your hamd, he was praising you, and he was saying, inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. So upon this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I announced that make preparation for a palace for this person in Jannah, and the name of this palace will be Baytul Hamd. Subhanallah. So when a person becomes razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so these are the blessings and inamat that a person gets, and Allah ta'ala makes a palace for that person in Jannah, and that palace is called Baytul Hamd. Then for such a person, Allah Ta'ala also increases barakat. Allah Ta'ala increases the risk of that person, makes him ghani. So faman radiya bima qasama Allahu lahu barakallahu lahu fi wasa'ahu. That whoever becomes razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes razi with whatever risk Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in that risk. Barakallahu fi, Allah puts barakah in that risk. Wa wasa'ahu, Allah expands that risk for him. And whoever becomes razi with the decree of Allah will be able to race on the pul sirat, on the bridge of sirat, very quickly. And that person on the day of Qiyamah will be the ham jalis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be in the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Julasa'ur Rahmani Tabaraka wa ta'ala Yawm al-Qiyamati. That individual, that servant who is razi with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be with Allah ta'ala. Julasa. Jalasa means to sit. In it, he will be sitting along with Allah ta'ala, in the company of Allah. He will get the sa'ada to be in that majlis. He will get the radha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will get the most afzal darajat of Jannah. And then he will get the even ajr-e azim there. Then Allah ta'ala will become razi with him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will announce his raza. In Israeliyat, there is a story that is mentioned about a worshipper from Bani Israel. And once he made dua to Allah ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I have worshipped you for so many years, and now if you can tell me that who will be my wife in Jannah. So that night he had a dream where he was told to go to a particular place. And there you will see there is a woman who will be with some animals and some goats or sheep. And she will be your wife in Jannah. So next day that person, he went to that place and he met a woman and he saw animals around her. So he asked her that, can I stay with you for 2-3 days nearby so that I can see what kind of ibadah you do? I want to look at your worship, your ibadat. So she said that, okay, you can stay and you can stay nearby and you can look at my ibadah. So Khair, he started living and he saw in those 2-3 days that she would not fast during the day, nor would she pray long tahajjud at night. Whereas this person, he used to fast throughout the day and he used to stand up, do qiyam and pray tahajjud throughout the night. He was sa'imud dahar and ka'imul layl. So he became a bit surprised that I am this kind of a person, and my wife in Jannah is, she doesn't, she's not fasting. I haven't seen her fasting. And she doesn't even pray tahajjud at night. And I am fasting throughout the day. I'm doing worship throughout the night. When he saw this, that compared to my ibadah, she doesn't have so much. So he was quite surprised. that I've been worshiping Allah for so many years, and my darja, my rank in Jannah will be like this woman. She will become my wife, who is sleeping throughout the night, mazeh mein, and throughout the day she's doing her work. And except for farz and wajib ibadah, she's not doing any nafil, any extra optional thing. So finally, this worshipper, he asked that woman, that what is your amal? What is that special amal that you do, which Allah loves about you so much, because of which Allah Ta'ala has given you a very high rank in Jannah? So then she said that, well, I don't do any extra special ibadah. I live a very ordinary life. Yes, there is one thing, that whatever decree Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for me, the taqdeer, the destiny that Allah ta'ala has given to me, I'm razi with Allah ta'ala's decree. I'm pleased with the decree of my Allah. And when the worshipper, he heard this, he said that this is that amal. This is that action because of which Allah ta'ala has given you such a high rank in Jannah. So if a person is razi with the decree of Allah ta'ala, then even without long ibadat, they can get a very high rank in Jannah. So today in this gathering, we have learned this lesson that Allah Ta'ala is that being who's Al-Hakim, and every decision of Allah, everything that happens from Allah Ta'ala is full of hikmah. There is khair for us. And since there is khair for us, we have to be pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. We have to be razi with our taqdeer. And this should not simply be with our tongue, but in our heart there should be that kayfiyat that we are razi, we are pleased with Allah. There should be happiness that Allah is our Rabb. We should be happy about this, that Allah is our Rabb. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is our Nabi, and that Deen of Islam is our Deen. And Allah, whatever halat Allah Ta'ala has kept us in, this is the best hal for us. Whatever has been written for us, so we are pleased with our Malik, we are pleased with our beloved, we are pleased with our Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Imam Rabbani Mujaddid al-Sistani rahmatullah said, that when you love your beloved, then whatever the beloved does, you love that act also. So Allah ta'ala made our taqdeer, so we should be happy. Okay, ya Allah, whatever you have decided for us, we are happy with that. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this maqam of raza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to act on these teachings. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم ظلمنا أنفسنا والله we have done ظلم on ourselves, we have wronged ourselves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we know, وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. Allah, if you don't forgive us, if you don't shower us with your rahmah, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah, we'll be amongst the lost ones, we'll be amongst the khasireen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we ask you to accept our Tawbah. Allah, we ask you to forgive us for all our sins. Forgive us for the sins that we remember. Allah, forgive us for the sins that we have forgotten. Forgive us for the sins that we did during the day. Forgive us for the sins that we did during the night. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive us for the sinful emotions, for the sinful feelings, for the sinful memories.
Ya Rabbi Kareem, wipe away the sins, wipe away the effect of sins from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from those things that take us towards sin, from opportunities of sins, from memories of sin, from places of sin, from people of sin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, just like you have put a barrier between the sky and the earth, Ya Rabbi Kareem, put a barrier, Ya Allah, between sins and our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, let us not fall into sins ever again, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you for your protection. We ask you for your hifaza. And Ya Allah, we ask you for the ability to make tawbah every single time we fall back into sin. And Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, the amal of tawbah. Allah, we ask you the tawfiq for tawbah. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, for kamil tawbah. For tawbatun nasuh. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. We ask you, Ya Allah, to remove all the effects of sins from our heart, all the effects of sins from our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever distance that has come between us and you because of sins, remove that distance, Ya Allah. Enable us, Allah, to feel your closeness, to feel your nearness, to feel your intimacy. Enable us, Allah, Ya Allah, to feel your muhabba in our hearts. Allah, ignite the flame of your muhabba in our hearts. Ignite the flame of your remembrance in our hearts. Allah, remove the heedlessness from our hearts. Remove the ghafla from our hearts. Allah, we are sick and tired of leading this life of sin. We are sick and tired of leading this life of ghafla. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want an exit, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you to grant us an exit in this month of Ramadan, in these nights of Ramadan, these days of Ramadan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, take us out from this lifestyle that is empty of you, these emotions that are empty of you, these feelings that are empty of you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we bring to you our hearts. Allah, these are diseased hearts, these are darkened hearts and blackened hearts. Allah, we bring to you our forgetful and heedless hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to wash our hearts, to wash the filth from our hearts, to purify our hearts. Allah, we ask you to remove the ghafla from our hearts, to remove the sickness of our hearts, to remove the diseases of our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to purify our hearts deeply and intensely. Allah, do tazkiyah of our hearts, tazkiyah of our hearts. Allah, you are the muzakki hakiki. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to put nur into our hearts. Allah, to put nur into our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant us qalb-e saleem, a pure and untainted heart, a qalb-e muneeb. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant us a qalb that is remembering you all the time. Ya Rabbi Kareem, inscribe your name into on our hearts, inside our hearts, from the core of our hearts. Ya Allah, enable us to remember you, to think about you every single moment. Ya Allah, allow us, grant us the tawfiq to be able to think about you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us a heart that is drowning and drenched in your remembrance every single moment of our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us a zakir heart, an alive heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, revive our dead hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us embodiments of the ayat of the Quran. Ya dhukuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Those people who remember you standing and sitting and lying on their sides. Allah, enable us, grant us the tawfiq to be able to remember you every single posture, every single moment of our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, grant us the zikr, make the zikr so firmly embedded into our hearts. Allah, make this such an inseparable attribute of our life, of our being, that nothing can take us away from your yad, nothing can take us away from your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Allah, you have mentioned in the Quran, رَجَالُ لَا تُلِهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that there are some people that no amount of trade and commerce can distract them from the remembrance, from your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for your tawfiq to be, Allah, to include our names also among such people, that nothing of this world can distract you, can distract us from your remembrance, can nothing, Ya Allah, can remove us from your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us among the zakirin Allah kathiran wa dhakirat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to purify our nafs. Grant us nafs mutmainna. Allah, in this month the shaitan has been chained, but this nafs, Ya Allah, Allah has spent too much time in the company of shaitan. Allah, this nafs has become like Amara and Lawama. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to remove all the shaitan
any asr and effect from this nafs, Ya Allah. Allah, make this nafs pure. Do tazkiyah of their nafs, Ya Allah. Allah, even in Ramadan, we are not able to stay away from sins. Even in Ramadan, Ya Allah, we are not able to control our gaze. Even in Ramadan, Ya Allah, we are not able to control our tongue. Even in Ramadan, Ya Allah, our nafs incites us and forces us, commands us towards sinful thoughts and emotions. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for kamil maghfirah. Allah, we ask you for kamil tazkiyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to purify us, Ya Allah. Allah, you are pure. You love purity. You will allow people of purity to enter into your Jannah, which is also a place of purity. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to purify us, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove all the impurities from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the unlawful desires, unlawful feelings from our hearts. All the nafsani, shaitani, hewani, muhabbati from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us purity inside of ourselves. Grant us taqwa inside of our nafs. Grant us taharat inside of our nafs. Ya Allah, weaken our nafs-e ammara. Allah, make tame this nafs, Ya Allah. Mold this nafs, Allah. Refine this nafs, Ya Allah. Allah, do kamil islah of this nafs, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Allah, do islah of this nafs with afiyah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we present ourselves to you. Allah, we present our zahir to you. We present our batin to you. We present our qalb to you. We present our nafs to you. Allah, we ask you to change us, Ya Allah, in a way that is pleasing to you. Allah, change us, Ya Allah, completely. Change our zahir and our batin. Change us from the tips of our hair to the soles of our feet in a way that is pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, change us, Ya Allah. Change the way we think. Change the way we feel. Allah, change the way we desire. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, increase us, Ya Allah, in our taluk with you, in our talab for you. Allah, make us love you more than any other love that we have. Make us, Ya Allah, desire you more than any other desire that we have. Allah, make your love and muhabba ghalib on all the other loves in our heart. Allah, make your muhabba, Ya Allah, ghalib, Ya Allah, in our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, increase us in our yearning for you. Increase us in our craving for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Allah, we don't know the tariqah and salika to make dua, but Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, this is the month of Ramadan. Allah, we ask you out of the barakah of this month, the rahmah of this month, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, to accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to accept our tawbah tonight, to grant us your kamil maghfirah on this night. Ya Rabbi Kareem, your beloved Nabi Salatu Islam has said that every Ramadan, so many people are taken, Allah, the names are taken out from the list of those who are destined for Jahannam, and the names are placed on those who are destined for Jannah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, tonight, Allah, we ask you, Allah, to include our names also among those people who are destined for Jannah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us Jannah. Allah, we make dua to you for Jannah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannatul firdaus bi ghairi hisab. And Ya Allah, we ask you for protection against Jahannam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, save us from the fire, save us from Jahannam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, we ask you to grant this ni'mat of Raza. Allah, make us people who love you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people who love, who are razi with you, who are pleased with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we also say this, Ya Allah, with our tongue. And Ya Allah, we also want you, we ask you, Ya Allah, Allah, to put this in our heart. Razitu billahi rabba. That we are pleased with you to have you as our Rabb. Ya Rabbi Kareem, this is our honor, this is our sharaf, this is our izzat and maqam, that Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are our Rabb. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have no other Rabb other than you. Allah, you are our Rabb, you are our Malik, you are our Khalik, Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, from you, whatever any needs we have, Ya Allah, we turn to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you have said in Quran, wa amma sa'ila fala tanhar. Then when a sa'il comes to you and asks you for anything, don't turn that person empty-handed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, if that is our hukum, if that is your hukum to us, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are also, Ya Allah, your servants and slaves. Allah, we are also at your door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, that person in the dunya who's turned away from one door, he can go to a next door, he can go to a third door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have no other door to go to except you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are our Rav, Ya Allah. Whatever we will get from you, Ya Allah. Allah, whatever we will get will be from this door, Ya Allah. Allah, we We ask you, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Ya Allah, to open this door of rahmah for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, open this door of maghfirah for us. Open this door of barakah and hidayah for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have attached ourselves to your door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to keep us always attached to this door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shade us, Ya Allah, with your shade of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, keep us always under your shade of protection, under the shade of your rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are razi with you in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are razi with all the decisions that you have made for us. We are razi with all the decree, with all the risk, with all the izzat, with all the blessings that you have given to us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we say with our hearts that we are razi with you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are Rabb. You are a Rabbi. You are a Rabbi Kareem. You are a Rabbi Rahim. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are also Razi with the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as our Nabi. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Razi tu be Muhammadin Nabiya, or Razi tu bil Islami Deena. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are Razi to have Islam as our Deen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant us this Maqam-e Raza, to Maqam-e Sabr, Maqam-e Shukr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make these sifat an inseparable attribute of our being. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these duas from all of us tonight. Enable us, Ya Allah, to adorn ourselves with all the attributes, all the sifat-e mu'minana that you've mentioned in the Quran. Allah, include our names amongst the muttaqeen, the mahbubeen, the muhsineen, the shakireen, the sabireen, the zakireen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us to follow in the footsteps of the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Saliheen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, if you have given us all of these blessings, and Allah, it's only because of our laziness we have still not been able to come close to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to remove this laziness from our heart. Remove the laziness of our nafs. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us, Ya Allah, to shed this laziness in this month of Ramadan. Make us active and proactive in our deen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us dynamic in our deen. Allah, enable us to reach towards you, to seek you, to strive in your path. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of mujahida, make us people of muraqaba, make us people of mushahada. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah, for the khidmat of this deen. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah, for the khidmat of this deen, to be able to do this khidmah with ikhlas, Allah, with your pleasure and no other intention, Ya Allah, than your radha. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for ikhlas in our ilm, ikhlas in our amal. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you for the fear and the khashiyah of losing this ikhlas. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accepting his du'as from all of us tonight. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayr khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.